نستعينه ونستغفر ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدر الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصلاة الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وعلى من اهتدى بسنته بالإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد أقول لكم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته ماشي أهل القرآن والسنة welcome you all to the second lecture in our series with our brother who is one of the leading students of Sheikh Al-Albani and in his own right one of the leading authorities on the Ahkam of Quran and is also a doctorate as a PhD in the sciences of the Quran teaching in the University of Islam in Al-Amman, Jordan. It is a great respectful and a great honor to have him here. And tonight's lecture and talk will be a subject in Arabic called Sirat al-Nabawi, Durus wa Ibr. That is the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, its history and its lessons from it. So inshallah, that will be the target for this evening. And inshallah, he'll be here tomorrow evening after Isha. So note the time change. Tomorrow will be after Isha. At 8 o'clock, his lecture will be on the responsibilities towards the Qur'an and our duty towards implementing it. So brothers should be aware of the remaining lectures. We'll be posting the schedule, inshallah, after tonight's lecture, inshallah. The tapes of yesterday's lecture on the Islamic Ummah, the disease and its cure, the tapes are already available for those who have missed it or wish to have a copy. They are now available. And inshallah, at the end of the series, after Wednesday's last talk, a whole set will be available on all the tapes by our brother in Islam, Muhammad Musa Nasser, Hafidullah. Please pay attention and keep your eyes focused and ears and be patient with us as we bear witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the blessings of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in belief of him and in understanding his history, which is called the Seerah, his biography and its elements that are found in it. And also be patient also with the translation. We have Arabic for those who have been gifted with the knowledge of that, and also the English for those who have the ability to understand that language. Bear witness and patience to that so that we can both all get all the blessings involved and that we can accrue from it, inshallah ta'ala. Tafadhal ya Sheikh. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة كل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة, حديثنا حول سيرة المصطفى نبي الله المجتبى صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي اصطفاه الله على العالمين وفضله على الخلق أجمعين. وكل أمة من الأمم تحتفي بعظمائها وتهتم بوجهائها وفضلائها وتكتب عن سيرهم وعن حياتهم لأنهم في مقام القدوة لأممهم وشعوبهم. وإذا حق وجاز لأمة من الأمم أن تحتفي بعظيم من عظمائها فإن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أولى وأحرى أن تحتفي بنبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي جمع المحاسن والفضائل كلها الذي ما مشى على الأرض أكرم على الله من محمد بن عبد الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صاحب النسب الرفيع وشرف العالي العطر الذي رباه الله عز وجل واصطنعه على عينه وخلقه بأحسن الأخلاق، بل إنه قد علا وسما فوق الأخلاق كما قال الله عز وجل في مدح نبيه: وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم، وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. وحينما سئلت أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها عن أخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت: كان خلقه القرآن. فهذا نبي، هذا شأنه، وهذا وصفه، وهذا حاله، حري أن يكون للناس إماما، بل للخلق جميعا، وهو كذلك صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهو سيد ولد آدم ولا فخر، وهو إمام المتقين وسيد المرسلين وإمام الغر المحجلين، صاحب اللواء المحمود والمقام، صاحب اللواء المحمود والمقام المحمود، صاحب هذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي نعتت أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله عنها أخلاقه فقالت: كان خلقه القرآن. كان خلقه القرآن، كأن القرآن قد ترجم سلوكا حيا في أخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإذا أردت أن تنظر إلى القرآن بأوامره، بفضائله، بأخلاقه، بتعاليمه، فلتنظر إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سيرته وفي سنته وفي هديه وفي سمته، في حله وترحاله، في سفره وحضره، في جهاده وسلمه، في بيته وخارج بيته، في مسجده، في سوقه، في كل أحواله، ترى القرآن العظيم قد ترجم عمليا وترجم واقعا حيا في سلوك رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وفي هدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
In alhamdulillah, after praising Allah and reciting the ayat of Allah and the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to the Qutbat al-Hajjah, as all of you inshallah are familiar with the meanings thereof, he started off by saying clearly, without doubt, in relation to the one who Allah has chosen, the Mustafa, the Allah's chosen one, and who was also mentioned by Allah Ta'ala as being the mercy for all the alameen, that all that exists, all Allah has created, all the worlds. He indeed is a singular personality that has risen over all the people, all the nations that existed before and after him. And nobody was more generous and had more honor or more elevated status in goodness and purity than was ever created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had the best character and disposition with his people and his relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation the meanings, verily the best model, the best template for all humanity to follow is in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And another ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the translation, meaning, verily he is upon the most exemplary character, the most excellent of characters. And also in a narration on Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, verily his character was the Qur'an. His character was in implementation and in acting that which with the Qur'an came down with, because verily it is through the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent guidance to all the human beings and his creation. And is nothing better than one who exemplifies that teaching, that message, that guidance, and that was in the being of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, if we wish to aspire and achieve, to know and understand and eventually follow the ultimate character, then who is better than the one who is described as the one who followed and was the Quran in character? And therefore that was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in doing so, we see through the study of the seerah itself, which is again the study of the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that it describes his actions, his behavior, his speech, his pattern and model of life in all aspects, in the home, outside the home, in the masajid, in the houses of Allah, and outside the masajid of Allah, in the streets, in the public, in the marketplaces, in dealings with his family, in dealings with his friends, in his approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through worship, and in those mundane everyday duties. We have every aspect to be found in the description of his life, and that is the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his biography.
وحينما نقول سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فإنما نعني حياته صلى الله عليه وسلم الحافلة بالمواقف العظيمة منذ ولادته صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى لقي ربه صلى الله عليه وسلم والتحق بالرفيق الأعلى ويدخل في ذلك نسبه الشريف نسبه الشريف آباؤه أجداده أزواجه أولاده أصحابه أهل بيته يدخل في ذلك شمائله صلى الله عليه وسلم وصفاته الخلقية والخلقية ويدخل في ذلك جهاده صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعاهداته و رسائله للملوك وللعظماء في زمانه ويدخل في ذلك غزواته وبعثاته وجهاده صلى الله عليه وسلم وفتوحاته ويدخل في ذلك مواقفه صلى الله عليه وسلم وأيامه ووصف أحواله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع أصحابه مع أهل بيته ونسائه وعشرته لأزواجه ومعاملته لأصدقائه وأعدائه في السلم وفي الحرب وإلى غير ذلك وشمائله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى غير ذلك من مباحث طرقها العلماء الذين كتبوا في سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم كثر منذ قديم الزمان قد تسابق العلماء وكتبوا مئات الكتب والمصنفة في سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم العطرة كسيرة ابن إسحاق وسيرة ابن هشام ومغازي الواقدي وسيرة السيرة النبوية لابن كثير وغير ذلك مما كتب المعاصرون أيضا فكل هذه الكتب وكل تلك الرسائل وكل تلك المصنفات غيض من فيض وقليل في حق هذا النبي الكريم الذي ما شهدت الدنيا أعظم منه ولا أفضل منه ولا أكمل منه كيف وهو المسدد من ربه كيف وقد اقترن اسمه باسم ربه فما ذكر الله إلا وذكر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف وهو صاحب الشفاعة الكبرى حيث يرغب الخلق في يوم مقداره 50,000 سنة يرغبون إلى آدم أن يشفع لهم عند الله فيعتذروا يقول لست لها ويرغبون إلى نوح فيعتذر ويقول لست لها ويرغبون إلى إبراهيم فيعتذر عنها ويرغبون إلى موسى كليم الله فيعتذر عنها ويرغبون إلى عيسى المسيح كلمة الله فيرغب عنها ويقول لست لها أهل اذهبوا إلى محمد ذاك عبد غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه فيخر ساجدا لله يقول أنا لها ويخر ساجدا لله فيحمد الله بمحامد كثيرة يفتحها الله عليه فيقول يا محمد ارفع رأسك سل تعطى اشفع تشفع ولنبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم ثمان شفاعات، فهو كما وصفه الله عز وجل رحمة للعالمين، وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، فهو ليس رحمة على المؤمنين بل رحمة أيضا على الكافرين. أرسله الله ليخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. لقد كان أحد كتاب الغرب منصفا حق الإنصاف حينما ألف كتابا حافلا أودع فيه 100 عظيم من عظماء الدنيا. لقد كان منصفا جدا حينما جعل أعظم رجل في هؤلاء وأول رجل في هؤلاء هو نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. حينما أراد أن يرتب هؤلاء العظماء جعل رسول الله محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم هو العظيم الأول، وقد أصاب والحق ما شهدت به الأعداء. ليس هناك أعظم من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وليس هناك أفضل من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والأنبياء كلهم تبع له صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو الذي صلى بهم إماما في ليلة المعراج. وإمامة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وتقديمهم له في الصلاة دليل على أنه إمام الأنبياء، فاختاره الله عز وجل من بين أولي العزم من الرسل. اختار الله أولي العزم من الرسل من بين الأنبياء، وأولي العزم هم نوح وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى ومحمد. فاختار الله من الأنبياء جميعا هؤلاء الخمسة، واختار من هؤلاء الخمسة الخليلين إبراهيم عليه السلام ومحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، واختار محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم منهم جميعا. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله اصطفى إسماعيل من ولد إبراهيم، واصطفى كنانة من ولد إسماعيل، واصطفى قريشا من كنانة وهي قبيلة عربية ينتهي نسب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليها، واصطفى بني هاشم من قريش، واصطفاني من بني هاشم. فليس هناك أرفع نسبا وأشرف نسبا من نسب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهو صلى الله عليه وسلم ينتهي إلى إسماعيل، وهو الرسول الوحيد من صلب إسماعيل، وكل أنبياء بني إسرائيل من صلب إسحاق ومن ذرية إسحاق، كل أنبياء بني إسرائيل من ذرية إسحاق. أما إسماعيل عليه السلام فليس إلا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا من ذريته. ولذلك قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا دعوة أبي إبراهيم، حيث أن إبراهيم عليه السلام دعا ربه عز وجل فقال: وربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. فإذا هذا النبي الكريم وهذا الرسول العظيم الذي جعله الله قدوة للمؤمنين إلى يوم الدين، كما قال الله عز وجل: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة من كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. يجب علينا وجوبا أن نعرف سيرته العطرة وأن نعرف أيامه، لأن أيامه من أيام الله، والله عز وجل يقول: وذكرهم بأيام الله. إن معرفة أيام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، إن معرفة أحوال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومعرفة سيرته وأخلاقه أعظم نبراس لنا وأعظم هاد ودال ومرشد لنا في زمن فقدنا فيه القدوة، في زمن يتخبط فيه العالم في الظلمات، في زمن فقدت فيه الأخلاق وطمست فيه الأخلاق، التبس الحق بالباطل واتبع الناس كل ناعق، فأصبح الناس يتبعون الرويبضات. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عرف الرويبض فقال: هو الرجل التافه يتكلم في أمر العامة. ما أحوجنا وقد اشتدت غربة الدين واتبع الناس كل ناعق، ما أحوجنا إلى أن نرجع إلى سيرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فندرسها بتأمل وإمعان، ما أحوجنا أن نلقن سيرة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى أبنائنا وأطفالنا حتى ينشأ على حب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب أصحابه. الإعلام الغربي، الإعلام العلماني، الإعلام للأسف في العالم الإسلامي المتأثر بالإعلام الغربي يلقن أبناءنا ويعلم أبناءنا أن القدوة هو الممثل الفلاني والنجم الرياضي الفلاني والمهرج الفلاني، ولا يعلم النشئ والجيل بأن القدوة والمثل إنما هو الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه. ولذلك هناك تشويه لهذه المثل الخالدة التي خلدها الله عز وجل بما كانت عليه من هدي وسمت واستقامة وإعلاء لكلمة الله عز وجل. أصبح الأطفال يرددون الأغاني، وأصبح الأطفال ينظرون إلى النجم الرياضي فلان هو القدوة والمثل. فإذا سألت الطفل الصغير ماذا تريد أن تكون، فيقول لك: أريد أن أكون مثل مارادونا، أريد أن أكون مثل رولاندو، أريد أن أكون مثل فلان المغني، مثل فلان الممثل، ولا يريد أن يكون مثل أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وخالد بن الوليد وسعد بن أبي وقاص وأبي عبيدة عامر بن الجراح وغير ذلك من عظماء الإسلام، لأنه لم يلقن حب هؤلاء وتعظيم هؤلاء. كان عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنه أو سعد بن أبي وقاص لا أذكر الآن، ولعله سعد بن أبي وقاص، كان يقول لأبنائه: يا أي بني، هذه السيرة شرف آبائكم وأجدادكم، هذه السيرة سيرة نبيكم شرف آبائكم وأجدادكم، فاحفظوها وافهموها. كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم من شدة تعظيمهم لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يسري تعظيم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في دمائهم، حتى أن أبنائهم الصغار كانوا يأتون بهم إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليحنكهم ويدعو لهم بالبركة وينالون بركة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهذا لبيد محمود بن لبيد صحابي، أصغر صحابي، عمره 4 سنوات، يقول: أحفظ من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مجة مجها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وجهه. لما كان عمره 4 سنوات جيء به إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أخذ يعني كفا من ماء وتمضمض بها وقذف في وجه هذا الطفل الصغير. فهذا أصغر راوي روى عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك قال العلماء أن الطفل يعني من 4 سنين فصاعدا يستطيع أن يحمل العلم. قال: أحفظ من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مجة مجها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وجهه. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
Continuing with the understanding of the importance of the Sirat al-Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet's biography, alayhi salam, and learning all the details in terms of what he did and what he stood for in our context of our history, the Islamic history, looks at it in a greater aspect of his context within all the generations that existed before and after him, in the context and over human beings, but also among the Anbiya. And when in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see the progression of his guidance from the time, in a perfect way, from the time of his life when he was born as a child, and throughout his mission when the revelation of the Quran came, until the time he met in the most highest of all places his Lord at the time of his death. And we also in the seerah see his struggles and his youth, his mission, his da'wah, his battles and jihad against those who fought against Islam and in propagating the message of Islam. And we see the relationships between his family, his wives, his companions, the Ahlul Bayt, the people who were related to him in his household, and da'wah to those outside of his followers, those who are non-Muslims. And there are multitudes of writings, books, rasail, volumes, musanaf, and series of writings that have dealt with his life in the past history. Most well known among them, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham, Waqidi, Ibn Kathir, and also multitudes of contemporary scholars after them and in our own time, have written much in detail about the way and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, in the major portion of many of these works is not the truth. It is not authentic. So, how do we figure this out? We have to go back to that which was originally transmitted to us and follow that methodology and understanding the way in life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the same way that we learn and find the details of our religion. It is the same methodology. In the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see the importance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only in the context of our own lives, our religion and our history, but in the greater aspect of the world time itself. World time meaning the descent of all revelation and prophets from the previous times. In this hadith, a man goes and asks among the peoples who have come before in the hereafter on the Day of Judgment to Adam alayhi salam, and then goes to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then goes to Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, all asking for help and intercession to intercede on their behalf and plead their case in front of Allah on that day when there is no pleading except for the who Allah chooses. And they all say, each one of them say, go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Go to him, for he has the right of intercession. So then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this hadith, he makes sujood as long as Allah wills so. And then when he wishes so, he will lift his head from that sujood, from that prostration on the earth, on the ground, and then pleads for his ummah in shafa'a, in intercession. So he has been granted, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this great and mighty position by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and known as a maqam mahmudan, a great and honored raised place among all human beings, including the other messengers. And in terms of his position in front of Allah, this has been explained by Allah himself in these previous ayat and also in this hadith. In knowledge, in ilm, in that which is appropriate, that which is necessary to save yourself from the hellfire, verily without that, this knowledge, he rises above all others, including the companions and the scholars of all times. He rises above them. So in terms of honor, he rises above all the anbiya. In terms of knowledge, he rises among all, even all the scholars of all times. And in the lineage of all the prophets, alayhi salam, that Allah has sent down with the message, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has favored five among all. And they are Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the fifth of these five honored positions that have a greater standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among these five, Allah has specified two as being the most honored among these five. So among the most honored, there is another level. And that level is shared with Ibrahim alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah has definitely specified these two as being the great leaders of their nations and until the Day of Judgment. And in this, among these two, Ibrahim alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has raised Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam above them. So he has passed the last hurdle, the last marhal, the last station of elevation among all the other prophets, and this is the way Allah himself has decreed. And in hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has indeed chosen the children of Ismail, of Ishaq alayhi salam, above all the tribes of Bani Israel, the children that come from the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam, which was one of the two sons of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Verily the tribes that come through the Bani Israel, the most favored were those through the lineage of Ishaq alayhi salam. And in terms of the lineage of all the tribes of Ismail alayhi salam, Allah has chosen the Bani Hashim as being the most honored of the tribes that come from Ismail. And he says, and among the people of Bani Israel, the most favored among them is me, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this narration we see there is an elevation among elevations. So we must know the history of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So knowing the elevation that Allah himself has mentioned in choosing those of his tribes, favoring among those of his messengers, and among the tribes of who he has favored most of his tribes, Ishaq of the people who have come from Bani Israel, the most favored among him, and Ismail, the most favored of his tribes that have come from him, and Bani Hisham being the most favored tribe of Ismail, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the chosen one from his tribe. Verily we see how Allah has favored peoples among peoples, and men above all men, that being Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we must know the history of our prophets and their times, especially our own, who is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To know the context of all the prophets sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and know their times and history, their seerah, and particularly our own prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in translation, the meanings, remember the I am Allah. Allah says, remember, think about the I am Allah, and I am Allah here means the days of trial and fitna in the times of the prophets, what came upon their people, the causes, the relationship, the reasons, and the effects. And therefore we should also remember that with our own Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And verily, it takes some knowledge to do this. We must beware of those who attempt, by their own understanding, through their own interpretation, for whatever goals or agenda they may have, to reinterpret the history of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his seerah, in the context of what they understand. In this context, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a hadith. He said, beware of the Ruwaybida. Who are the Ruwaybida? They are the people who are fools, who have little knowledge, and they speak upon that which they do not know, and they interpret the Quran according to their desire. Beware of these people. So therefore, we have to beware in our study of this very important source book, the source of all our religion and history, to be wise and very careful in selecting that which is authentic, relied upon of Allah, and not upon the people's opinions and their reinterpretations, and interpretations of that which is not founded upon the best of all generations, and they were the companions. Now, in context of who or what and what are our goals in learning the seerah, it goes from the young as well as to the old. Those who are new Muslims or those who are old Muslims, and especially our children, who should be taught this from the earliest ages. If you ask a child nowadays what they want to be when they grow up, what do you want to be when you grow up? A common question asked among children. Nowadays, whoever you ask, they'll say, I want to be a doctor, a nurse, I want to be such a fulan who is a famous person, or rich man. Very few, if any, will say that I want to be like Abu Bakr, Uthman, Umar Uthman, or Ali, or Abu Sayyid al-Khudri, or Abdul ibn Jarrah, or any of the companions who have been raised among the other companions who are standing out in our history as being models and carriers of the message from our own Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very few have any knowledge of them, even their names, to even select them as children. So it is then learning our history, its people, and especially the first generations of the companions that make us worthy of the ones who know our religion from the sources, and that should be done from the earliest ages on. We see this in the character of one of the youth of our Islamic history, Abdul ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, who was most memorable, who had the most best memory and best capacity to learn among all the companions. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this in a statement that he would be the most beneficial person to carry knowledge. And he did this by taking a glass of water in his mouth and spitting it upon his face and making dua for him that Allah will protect him in his knowledge and increase him in knowledge. And therefore Abdul ibn Umar was known from the earliest ages to be the youngest of the narrators. Narration in Islamic istilah, in terms of hadith methodology, is very strict in its usage and its acknowledgement in terms of its assay, that is, his criticism of those who carried the narrations. And he is the youngest of them who has ever been able to be considered a narrator of the hadith, Abdul ibn Umar. We see this from the earliest ages, how our youth are so important to carry that knowledge of Islam, and there's no better way through the message of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
هذه السيرة النبوية ينبغي أن نلقنها لأطفالنا ونلقنها للنشء حتى يشبوا على حب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب أصحابه، فابنك وطفلك على ما عودته وعلى ما أنشأته عليه. وهذا داخل في عموم قول الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. فأنت حينما تظهر القدوة لولدك في شخص رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه، فإنك تنمي فيه حب الاتباع لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا يخفى أن اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فرض عين على كل مسلم، وأن اتباع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سبب للهداية والفلاح. قال الله تعالى: وإن تطيعوه تهتدوا. وقال تعالى: فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. قال تعالى: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما تبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيرا. فكيف يمكن لنا أن نتبع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحن لا نعرف من أحواله شيئا، ونحن لا نعرف من سنته شيئا، ونحن لا نعرف من سيرته شيئا؟ لا بد من العلم، ولا بد من الوعي ومن الحفظ، ولا بد من تربية أبنائنا على حب الله وحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب الصحابة. قال الشاعر: وينشأ ناشئ الفتيان فينا على ما كان عوده أبوه. فإذا رأى هذا الطفل الأب لا يعظم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا يعظم سنة رسول الله، ولا يعظم هدي رسول الله، وإنما يعظم زيد أو عمر من أهل الدنيا ومن أهل الفن والرياضة ونحو ذلك، فإن هذا الطفل يترسخ في قلبه، في عقله وقلبه، حب هؤلاء السفهاء دون حب الله وحب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن الطفل يتعلم حب الله وحب رسوله من أبويه، فإذا رأى أبويه يعظمان أوامر الله وأوامر رسول الله، ورأى فيهما سنة رسول الله وهدي رسول الله، رآهما يتذاكران سيرة رسول الله، فإن هذا الطفل يشب على تعظيم السنة ومحبة السنة. لقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يهتم بالصغار كما يهتم بالكبار، بل كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يعلق في المسجد عذقا، وهو عذق التمر، كي يصيب منه الأطفال. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالإتيان بالصبيان إلى المسجد: مروا أبناءكم بالصلاة لسبع، واضربوهم عليها لعشر، وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. والدليل على أن السلف كانوا يهتمون بأبنائهم ويأتون بهم وهم أطفال صغار ليعيشوا حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وليروا بأم عيونهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيتعلموا ويستفيدوا. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا سمع بكاء طفل في الصلاة اختصر صلاته وقطع وأوجز في صلاته. وكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يأمر بالرفق بهؤلاء الأطفال وتعليمهم وعدم زجرهم والغلظة فيهم، لأنهم عدة المستقبل، ولأنهم سيحملون أمانة الدعوة وأمانة التبليغ، وسيكون منهم المجاهدون في سبيل الله. بل كان بعض الصحابة يأخذ أبناءهم صغارا يشهدون المعارك قبل البلوغ، ولا يشاركون ولكنهم يشاهدونها، حتى إذا بلغ أحد 15 عاما أذن له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الجهاد والقتال. إذن أيها الإخوة، سيرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحن بحاجة لها أشد من حاجتنا للطعام والشراب، بل أشد من حاجتنا للهواء، لأن فيها بقاؤنا وفيها فلاحنا. وأمة الإسلام اليوم تتعرض لغزو فكري ثقافي أخلاقي. لا يمكن أن تتحصن الأمة أمام هذا الغزو إلا إذا فقهت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ووعت سيرة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسيرة أصحابه، وتشبهت بهم، واستمسكت بكتاب ربها وسنة نبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنهما سر فلاحها وسر قوتها وسر عزها، كما قال الله عز وجل: وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقوله تعالى: ولينصرن الله من ينصره إن الله لقوي عزيز. أمة لا تعرف ماضيها لا تعيش حاضرها ولا تعرف مستقبلها. أمة تتنكر لأصالتها لا يمكن أن تفلح لا في حاضرها ولا في مستقبلها. لذلك دعاة العلمانية ودعاة الضلالة يريدون منا ألا ننظر إلى الوراء، وألا نقتفي آثار السلف الصالح، وألا نتبع هدي نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم الذي جعل الله فيه فلاحنا. يريدون منا أن ننظر إلى الغرب، إلى أخلاق الغرب، إلى فساد الغرب، إلى حب الغرب للخمر والنساء وأكل لحم الخنزير، إلى ما هم عليه من فساد وانحراف. يريدون للمرأة المسلمة أن تلقي جلبابها وخمارها وحجابها وتخرج كاسية عارية لا ترد يد لامس في الحانات وفي البارات وفي النوادي والمراقص، تكون مع الرجال لا تعرف زوجها من عشيقها، بل كل يوم تكون في أحضان رجل آخر عياذا بالله. هكذا يريد أعداؤنا لأمتنا، ولذلك يغزوننا غزوا فكريا ثقافيا مركزا حتى ننسلخ من ديننا ونتنكر لأصالتنا ونتنكر لسيرة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم. حينئذ ينقضون علينا انقضاض البازي على فريسته، ينقضون علينا انقضاض الصبع الضاري على الشاه، فيعملون بنا قتلا وتجريحا وتمزيقا، وقد أفلحوا إلى حد كبير. وليس لنا إلا أن نعود إلى ديننا الحق الذي هو عصمة أمرنا.
خير. إن الحمد لله. Our children must be educated in continuation of the understanding that, again, it is upon the model of, we saw Abdullah ibn Umar among the Sahaba, being a child raised from the earliest ages upon Islam with the dua of the Prophet ﷺ upon him. And again, being a model not just for us, but also for our children, to learn the importance of the seerah, that is the way of our Prophet ﷺ and those who accompanied him, known as the Sahaba. They must be done from the earliest ages, and therefore they can gain the most benefit of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire in which its fuel are men and stones. Therefore it is our duty, it's an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we do this. And there is no more priority in saving our children, our families from the hellfire by educating them in the ways of the things that help them escape that fire. And verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayat, if you obey Allah and His Prophet, you are truly guided. If you obey Allah, you will be rightly guided. So guidance comes from obedience to those things that are obligatory upon us. And they must be taught from the earliest ages. The children must know how to make the distinction between that which is halal and lawful and that which is unlawful. That which is the truth and not the truth. And therefore, if they obey, then they will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who says in the translation of meanings, whoever divides or deviates from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will find upon them a great punishment. And this great punishment comes upon those who deviate and divide in their religion. And of course, it starts with the earliest ages. If they don't understand, they definitely will not be able to be on the straight path and in obedience. And another narration, ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says in the translation, the meanings, whoever yushaqiqu, whoever opposes, turns away from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the mu'minun, the believers, the companions, Allah will make it easy for them to follow that which they want to follow. That means they will follow themselves into the hellfire. And what an evil destination it is. Wasa'at masira. Certainly this is an evil destination for anyone, including our own children. And in a narration from one of the poets of the past, in a short poem, in the translation of the meanings, verily the youth are brought up and established upon the model, the stone that his father raises him up upon. So therefore we see that the children are nothing but products of what their parents are. So therefore, the father who teaches the children, it is even more important than the necessities of food, drink, and housing, we can even say at this point. It is even more important than the food that they drink, and the food and drink that they have, and also the housing they have. It has a higher priority upon that. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in translation of meaning, He said in the ayat, you are the most responsible for that which you have been given charge for. You are above all, have been most responsible that we've been given charge for. And in another ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala translation of meaning, Allah says, those who are successful are those who fulfill the rights that Allah has ordered under your care. So therefore we know from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are most responsible those who are under our charge, and they are our children. And those who fulfill those duties, they are most successful. We see the evil effects in our society opposite, however. We see we have not been, in the ummah of Islam, not fulfilling those duties. Because we see the condition directly of our ummah from the habits and behavior of our children. Where we see from the earliest ages they leave the homes. We see girls from the earliest ages, when they get to the age of puberty, they throw off their jilbabs and outer coverings and they walk around the streets uncovered, against the laws of hijab and the things that we should have been teaching them from the earliest days. Therefore, it revolves back to our duties and our responsibilities to learn the necessity of learning the seerah in the context of the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those best of humanity after him, the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in.
ولا نستطيع أيها الإخوة في هذا الوقت الضيق أن نستعرض سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من يوم مولده إلى أن لقي ربه عز وجل، وذلك أن هذا يحتاج إلى سنين، ولأن العلماء الذين كتبوا في سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد كتبوا ذلك في مجلدات ضخام، ولكننا نذكر أهم الأحداث في سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أعظم حدث هو مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقد كان مولده حدثا عظيما غير الله به وجه التاريخ، فقد ولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في عام الفيل. ولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في العام الذي جاء أبرهة الأشرم لهدم الكعبة، وامتن الله عز وجل على أمة العرب وعلى بيته بأن دفع هذا العدو الصائل وأرسل عليه طيرا أبابيل، آية من آيات الله. وهذا كان إرهاصا وإذانا بخروج هذا النبي الكريم. ألم ترى كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل؟ ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. وإن كان ذاك الوقت لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مولودا، لكن بني هاشم كانوا هم سدنة البيت وهم المؤتمنون عليه، وجاء هذا العدو الغاشم لهدم بيت الله الحرام، قبلة إبراهيم عليه السلام إمام الموحدين، والذي دعوة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم امتداد لدعوته. فجعل الله هذا الجيش العرمرم العظيم نكال الآخرة والأولى. و كان ذلك إذانا كما قلنا بخروج رجل عظيم. كان اليهود يتحدثون ويتوعدون الأوس والخزرج إن خرج نبي آخر الزمان أن يسوموهم سوء العذاب وأن يقتلونهم قتل عاد وثمود. فكان الأوس والخزرج ينتظرون خروج هذا النبي الكريم. والعجيب أن هؤلاء اليهود الذين كانوا كانوا يتوعدون أهل المدينة بقتلهم واستئصالهم عند ظهور محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، هم أول من كذب به، بل هم أول من تآمر عليه. فقد حاول اليهود عليهم لعنة الله، ونفهم من أحداث السيرة وصراع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مع اليهود أن اليهود هم اليهود، وأن يهود اليوم ليسوا أحسن من يهود الأمس، وأنهم أعداء هذه الأمة وأعداء نبي هذه الأمة، كما قال الله عز وجل: ولن ترضى عنك اليهود ولا النصارى حتى تتبع ملتهم. وكما قال الله عز وجل: لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا. فهم قد حاولوا قتل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 3 مرات: مرة بأن وضعوا له السم في ذراع الشاة، ومرة حينما سحره لبيد بن الأعصم اليهودي، ومرة حينما أراد أحد اليهود إلقاء حجر الرحى على رأسه صلى الله عليه وسلم فأعلمه الله بواسطة جبريل. 3 محاولات باءت بالفشل، أرادوا أن يقتلوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنهم علموا أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس منهم. ونحن نواجه في واقعنا وحاضرنا للأسف دعوات حزبية فيها شبه باليهود، لا تتقبل الحق إلا إذا كان من أفرادها وممن ينتمون إليها، وهذه خصلة عياذا بالله من خصال اليهود. فإنهم قد عادوا محمدا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أشد العداء، وهم الذين كانوا يبشرون به، وذلك حينما علموا أنه ليس منهم، حينما تبين أنه ليس منهم وأنما هو من أمة العرب، وأنه ليس من بني إسحاق وإنما هو من بني إسماعيل، عادوه وناصبوه العداء وحاولوا قتله ولم يتبعوه، وجحدوا بها واستيقنتها أنفسهم ظلما وعلوا. فلذلك كم صد اتباع الهوى أمما وشعوبا عن اتباع الحق عياذا بالله. ونتعلم أيضا من السيرة أيها الإخوة كيف أن الأنبياء جاهدوا في الله حق الجهاد، وكان نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم وأكثر أنبياء الله جهادا، كيف أنه تحمل الأذى في سبيل الله، وأن هذا الدين أيها الإخوة لا يؤخذ بالتمني ولا بالتحلي، وأن دين الإسلام قام بالجهد والجهاد، وأن نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أعظم المجاهدين، لقي في سبيل الدعوة صنوف العذاب ولقي أصحابه صنوف العذاب، وأن هذا الإسلام الذي نحن نتفيأ ظلاله اليوم ونستمتع به ونقطف ثماره ونحمد الله أن جعلنا مسلمين، إنما كان بثمرة جهود نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وثمرة جهود أصحابه. فالأمة كلها، الخلق كلهم حسنة في صحيفة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، كل مسلم في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها، كل عمل صالح هو في صحيفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأنه السبب الرئيس بعد الله عز وجل في هداية الخلق. فالخلق كلهم ممن هداهم الله عز وجل من أمة لا إله إلا الله في صحيفة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك قال الله عز وجل: والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. فهذا الدين لا يأتي بالكسل ولا يأتي بالنوم ولا يأتي إلا بالجهد والجهاد، فينبغي أن نبذل من أجل هذا الدين، وأن ننطلق دعاة إلى الله ورسوله، وأن ندعو هؤلاء الأمم، هذه الأمم الضالة، إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، حتى يكونوا معنا وحتى يعبدوا إلها واحدا فردا صمدا كما أنعم الله عز وجل علينا بذلك. نتعلم أيها الإخوة أن هذا الدين لا ينصر بالأغنياء والوجهاء، وإنما قام بالضعفاء. فمن سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نعلم أن أول من اتبع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هم الضعفاء: بلال، عمار، صهيب، سلمان الفارسي، وغير ذلك من الضعفاء. وهكذا الأنبياء فإنهم يتبعهم الفقراء والضعفاء. وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب المساكين ويجلس معهم ويتواضع إليهم، وكان يدعو: اللهم احشرني مسكينا، اللهم أحيني مسكينا وأمتني مسكينا، واحشرني في زمرة المساكين. ولما أعرض النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ابن أم مكتوم الأعمى واشتغل بدعوة وجهاء قريش، عاتبه الله عز وجل، عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى. فلا ينظر المسلم إلى ضعفه وإلى فقره، فإن الله عز وجل قادر على أن يغنيه وقادر على أن يقويه. إن لم يكن عون من الله للفتى فأول ما يجني عليه اجتهاده. ولنتذكر كيف أن عصابة قليلة اختارها الله عز وجل أهل بدر، كيف أن الله نصرها على الكثرة الكاثرة والقوة الغاشمة قوة قريش، وكيف أن الله عز وجل أعز دينه ومكن للمؤمنين بالأرض بإيمانهم لا بعدتهم ولا عتادهم. وهكذا أمة الإسلام من خلال استقرائنا لسيرة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نعلم أنها ما نصرت يوما بكثرة عددها ولا عددها، وإنما نصرت بإيمانها، بطاعتها لربها، باتباعها لنبيها صلى الله عليه وسلم، باتباعها لما أحل الله واجتنابها لما حرم الله. ونتعلم أيضا إخواني من السيرة، من دروسها وعبرها، كيف أنه كلما اشتد على الداعي إلى الله أذى الناس، كلما رفعه الله وأكرمه. فهذا نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام، تموت زوجة خديجة نعمة الزوجة التي كانت نصيرا له ومؤيدة، ويموت عمه الذي كان ينصره ويكلأه ويحميه، وبين في عام واحد وبينهما 3 أيام، يشتد حزن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، يشتد أذى المشركين له، يطبقون على إذائه، يخرج إلى الطائف لدعوة الناس علّه أن يجد منهم نصرة، فيؤذونه أشد الأذى ويردون عليه أقبح رد، فيرجع ويلجأ إلى الله ويشتكي إلى الله، ثم يكون الإسراء والمعراج بعد ذلك. كأن الله عز وجل يقول لنبيه: إذا ضاقت بك الأرض فلتسعك السماء، إذا آذاك أهل الأرض أكرمك أهل السماء. فرفعه الله مكانا عليا وعرج به إلى السماوات العلى، ورأى من آيات ربه الكبرى، ووصل إلى مقام سمع صريف أقلام القدر، كرامة لمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. واختلف العلماء والصحابة في هل رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ربه ليلة المعراج، أطبقوا على أنه رآه بقلبه، واختلفوا على رؤيته ببصره. فمنهم من قال إن الله قد خص محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بالرؤية البصرية، وخص موسى بالتكليم، وخص إبراهيم بالخلة، ومع ذلك فقد جمعت هذه الثلاثة لنبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونتعلم أيها الإخوة أن الصبر عاقبة المتقين، وأن الصبر يأتي بالنصر. فكيف أخرج نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم من مكة التي هي أحب أرض الله إليه، ثم لما صبر وجاهد كر على أعدائه وعاد إليهم فاتحا، فمكنه الله ونصره. ونتعلم من أخلاقه صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف العفو عند المقدرة، كيف أنه عفى عن من ظلمه وأحسن إلى من أساء إليه، وعفى عن هؤلاء الذين طردوه وأخرجوه وآذوه، ودعا ربه: اللهم اهد قومي فإنهم لا يعلمون، ودعا الله أن يخرج من أصلابهم من يعبده ومن يوحده. وتعلمنا سيرة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن القدوة الحسنة هي خير وسيلة لتربية الأمة الإسلامية، خير وسيلة. فنحن الآن فقدنا القدوة، لا نجد القدوة إلا في بطون الكتب، لا نجد القدوة إلا في بطون الكتب وفي المخطوطات، لا نكاد نجد القدوة في واقعنا. فنحن بحاجة إلى أن نقتدي بسيرة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، وسيرة أصحابه، وسيرة العلماء العاملين المهديين المرضيين الذين هم ورثة الأنبياء إلى يوم الدين، حتى تتربى هذه الأمة على منهاج نبيها وأخلاق نبيها وسيرة نبيها، فتسعد السعادة التي وعدها الله ويمكن الله لها في الأرض، وحينئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله. والدروس والعبر كثيرة وكثيرة جدا، وفي هذا القدر كفاية. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
جزاكم الله خيرا. In the concluding portion of tonight's lecture on the history and lessons derived from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we come to the conclusion and summary of all the aspects related to the education, the assimilation and practice of that which is found in the lessons of his noble seerah alayhi salam. It is impossible to discuss in this small setting, in the time limits that we have and constraints, to discuss all the points of his life from the time he was born, his birth, to his death. But we'll talk about one of the most important aspects of his life, which is his birth, and we'll just talk about some of the most major implications derived from that. And since his birth was indeed a very great event, an important one, we see prior to that the rectification and establishment of the tribe that he was born into, Bani Hashim, as being the recipients and prognosticators, that is, those who implemented in the protection of the Kaaba, the sacred place of which was established by Ibrahim alayhi salam. And we see they were in charge of the house at that time before his birth, going back to his great grandfather, and also when the army of Ra came from the south to demolish the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, through his help and his aid, sent birds to help destroy the army before ever reaching there. And we see clearly, without doubt, this is a special place in the context, not only in place but among the people who were interconnected with that protection. And verily Allah's protection was there, as narrated in the ayat of Allah surah Al-Fil. Have you not seen the army of the elephant, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came down with the punishment of the ababil, the stones that were sent and dropped by these birds? And verily Allah isn't best of who we can protect. And this is indeed showing how they were devastated, like burnt shafts of wheat that were just crumbled. Meaning, in this surah, short surah, everybody, even the children, know this surah, and sort of feel how the army of the elephant of Ra came, and Allah protected his house, and it was the dominion, and that is the ownership and ownership of Allah alone, through the establishment of Bani Hashim being the holders of the responsibility of that house at that time. Now, of course, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not born at this time. He was not even born yet. But it shows that how important that they were the ones connected with that Qibla of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that original Qibla, the original place of worship, or the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But this is in contrast to those who changed the Qibla later on, from the Bani Israel, the Jews, and the struggle that they turned away from the Kaaba and the way of being the Kaaba, being the place of worship of Allah alone, through the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam, through their own lineage, through their own worship, their own religion, and their own Qibla. And this was seen in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through his struggles with them, the Jews. And also we see in the hadith in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, showing that it will be a struggle to the day of judgment, when they will be killed, a great killing. And that great killing, that great struggle of war, will be against the Jews, and they will be killed in the great killing. So therefore, it is not over. It started before the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It continued throughout his life and into the day of judgment, when they will be killed, a great killing. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. This is the struggle that we have with us now. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily the Jews and Christians will not be pleased or satisfied with you until you become one of their millah, one of their people, one of their religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in translation, it means the most rebellious and hateful among you, against you, are the Jews. So very clearly we see this is the struggle that was a symbolic point in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he was born, in the way it was split up from the way of the original teachings of Allah through the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Jews. And we see three times in his life that he was attempted to be killed by the Jews in his own lifetime. And one time when the Ashab of Medina and their tribe tried to kill him. Another time the food that was poisoned. And another time a Jew stood over his head with a sword. But on each of these three incidents, Jibreel alayhi salam came as a protector of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing that the righteousness of the individual and the righteousness of the deen is no more superior than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the deen of Islam. And they will indeed be successful and triumphant over the Jews and all the enemies of Islam. In the struggle of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through his life, we see it was a struggle, it was a jihad, a struggle of all aspects of his life, inner and outer, against the enemies of Islam, including the Jews and their allies. We see and learn from this seerah, from these aspects, struggle, jihad, da'wah, tabligh, that is announcing and making known the word of Allah and His oneness and tawheed as being the primary duty of Muslims and the primary duty of His message of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also know that it was a thing that we learn in our own days in our struggle against any of Islam, still Jews being among them, and how he interacted with them, and how using the book of Allah and the way Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he brought, the Quran, the Kitab Allah he brought, he taught it and practiced it in his implementation. And very Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, those who struggle in our way, we will show them our subulana. They will show them our ways. So those who struggle in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through jihad, Allah will show them, guide them to His ways, the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in goodness and purity. So we must learn from this, as we are, again, just like the original companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a weak and oppressed people. In the general atmosphere of the world today, in this context of North America especially, we as a group of Muslims in the Ummah are a weak and oppressed people. Therefore, we should follow that which the first generation who were weak and oppressed did. We look at the life of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Look at his situation, being weak and oppressed in his situation. Suhail radiallahu anhu, Salman al-Farisi. These are the lives that we find in the seerah, the life that is the biographies of these individual characters, figures from our own history, and the weakness and oppression that they had to go through, and we learn from them in our own context of our own lives and our own struggles, and we see how they succeeded, and if we follow them, we shall indeed succeed. And verily, also showing us in one of the ayahs of Surah Al-Abasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how do we deal with the weak and oppressed in giving da'wah. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He turned His face in disgust from one who was probably better than the ones who He was approaching. Again, a reproach against our own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to show how Allah was the guide of this religion, the guide of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a true revelation. Therefore, we learn from that how to deal with others in those situations in giving da'wah. And learning how to follow, obey, and keeping close to the historical figures. Again, we talk about historical figures, we talk about mythological figures, we talk about real identities, men and women of the Sahaba who enacted and produced the best of all generations, following their leader, our leader, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from their times of weakness and trial, and how they flourished and persevered and overcame difficulties to success. Khadija radiallahu anha is a perfect example, the first wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, struggled with him the 25 years of marriage with him, and through the early years of the revelation that came when he was going through stages of mental and physical and spiritual trial, that she was a support, not only support of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she supported the religion of Islam through her goodness and her perseverance and patience and charity. She one who was the close companion of the Prophet in his earliest years, and there was no greater loss than him than when he lost her in the later years of Mecca after his death. A great, great, great misery and melancholy and depression descended upon our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see that, and how he was uplifted after that incident which occurred right after that death, that same year, the Isra Miraj, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was raised to the heavens and met the prophets that Allah so that raised above all other prophets, led them in salat and led them to the establishment of salat and raising him to the highest position no other human being ever had, and that was raising him to the point where he was able to see the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself with his own eyes, and no one ever had that privilege than he. So we must know these important lessons of how from the depths of depression to the trials of oppressed to the great glory of success, it is in the way of a Muhammad himself in his own life. And this is what we learn from his seerah. This is what appeals to us. This is what should guide us to our own lives and put us in the context of what we have to struggle. Because their struggles were much more severe than ours, and their successes in turn by overcome were much greater than ours. We should look to that as being our models. And they are again a model for us in the Ummah. And they concludes by saying the contents of all the books of the Prophet's life, of all the seerah, and is not equal to that which we derive from it. In other words, all the contents of all the books that we find in his life, the volumes that have been written, do not match the importance that we can attain by implementing and learning and understanding that in our lives. At the end, he concludes by asking Allah to give us that guidance, that knowledge, from the earliest, from our children to our oldest ones, to know that there is no better model than he, and there's no better knowledge and the knowledge of history than his history, and the history of our forerunners, our prophets, companions, alayhi salam. And through that, we shall find success in the greatest of our trials and oppression, to the greatest times of success that may lie ahead. And there's only success through Allah. He is the one who grants success. He is the one who grants guidance. May Allah turn to him in complete repentance and patience and worship. أقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. Inshallah, we'll end here, and questions will be taken after the adhan, before the salah, inshallah. Questions, please hand them forward so that we can have enough time to answer a few of them before the salah. And just a short announcement to know that this is only the second part of the series of talks on the religion of Islam and the aspects that may have some importance to us by our Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasser Hafidullah. Tomorrow, just to make you understand, the remaining lectures that we'll be having here will be after Isha at 8 p.m. from Monday through Thursday. And the titles of those remaining lectures will be available in a flyer and posted on the bulletin board. But we'll read them for you here. The first lecture tomorrow, again, each one will be after Isha at 8 p.m., will be the Qur'an and the need of the Ummah for it. So the Qur'an and its relationship to our needs and its importance to that Qur'an, the Ummah of Islam. And Tuesday will be a special lecture on hijama, the abundant sunnah and practice of the hijama. Now hijama is known as bloodletting, a sunnah of the Prophet for health and medical reasons. And this is a brother who has, a scholar who has knowledge of this and is very rarely mentioned in the circles of knowledge. So we welcome everyone to announce this to others who know that this is a subject that's not usually spoken of in the West, and even in the East. Is hijama an authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and what it contains in the authentic narrations on bloodletting. We must make a note here, it's sometimes referred to as cupping in your English translation. This is an archaic term not used anymore. It usually refers to tea drinking. So we'll just use the literal translation, and it's bloodletting for the sake of medical reasons. Hijama. On Wednesday and Thursday, there are two-part series of another important subject that's not really talked about in detail, and it's the world of the jinn, its aspects and its lessons from the sunnah. The world of the jinn, part one on Wednesday, the 16th of February, that is at 8 p.m. again, and on Thursday, the following night, again at 8 p.m., the 17th of February, Thursday, the world of jinn, part two. So this is the scheduled events and lectures that we have for the remaining of this week. We welcome everyone to come. There'll be available flyers and a posted on the bulletin board, the remaining schedule. Please let your family and friends know about this so that we have people get the benefits of this. And know also that we will have not only Muhammad Musa Nasser with us for a conference coming up in April. We have a convention coming up with Salim Halali and Sheikh Ali Halabi, and also Osama Qusi will be with us for that convention. But also in the summer, just to let you know, there is still time to register for the first religious Islamic course in Islamic studies in North America. This is the first intensive two-week program available, not just by colleges or curriculums or credits, but by authentic scholars that are renowned by other scholars, students of the great scholars such as Sheikh Abdulaziz bin Baz and Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullahum alayhim. All of them have been given the license to teach in their own countries. They have made it easy for us to avoid the expense and time to travel to them. They are coming to us. This is unprecedented. So these four scholars will be with us during the summer for a two-week intensive program with a degree as a certificate-issued program in Islamic sciences. So we welcome everyone to pick up the brochure available and register before all seats are taken. It's a limited access. And all the details are available on the flyer. So make known that not only do you have a chance to meet the Shuyukh during the conventions during the teachings in the masjid, you have a chance to have a certificate-issued course in Islamic studies for the purpose of education, and it's open for all. Inshallah ta'ala, that is available. Okay, the first question here, we are in studying the seer with the many weak narrations, which is the best and most accurate?
السيرة أحسن كتاب في السيرة فيما أعلم الآن هو كتاب الفصول في اختصار سيرة الرسول للحافظ ابن كثير بتحقيق وتخريج سيد الجليمي من مصر. هذا الكتاب مطبوع ومتداول، هو أحسن كتاب وقفت عليه في صحيح السيرة. وهناك كتاب موسوعة لشيخنا عليه رحمة الله، شيخنا الألباني، كان قد بدأ بتحقيقها وأخبرني قبل موتي رحمه الله بأنه قد أنجز ثلث السيرة النبوية، تقريبا ثلث السيرة النبوية، لكن المنية قد وقعت عليه عليه رحمة الله قبل أن يتم هذا المشروع. فنسأل الله أن يقيض من طلبة العلم من يتممون هذا المشروع، ونحن بحاجة إلى موسوعة كبيرة في السيرة الصحيحة للنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن كثير من كتب السيرة قد وقع فيها روايات ضعيفة والموضوعة، وبالتالي نحن بأمس الحاجة إلى كتاب شامل حافل في صحيح السيرة.
إن الحمد لله. The first question is, among the many weak narrations found in many of the Sirah, which is the most appropriate and beneficial book, and the most accurate in relation to the Sirah of the Prophet ﷺ that we can use? We said very clearly, well, the first one he would mention right away is the book Al-Fusul by Ibn Kathir, which discusses the life of the Prophet ﷺ in a couple of volumes, and it's been authenticated and edited by Sulaym al-Julaymi out of Egypt, and is available in print now. And this edition he recommends because of the tahqiq, that is the authentication of that book, and therefore this is highly recommended. And in terms of his own sheikh, our sheikh, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, he was in the process of writing a book of the Prophet's biography, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the authentic narrations. Unfortunately, before Allah took him, it was only completed to one-third. About one-third was completed. And inshallah, because of the circumstances, he was unable to complete it. Hopefully, maybe excerpts of that can be available. But at this time, nothing has been delegated for that completion. He does though warn, in relation to the other books available, there are some that have benefit and those have greater benefit than others. But without that, the majority of them all contain weak and, in fact, fabricated traditions. So therefore, we should be very careful in our dealing with that and refer to the ones that he just mentioned. And therefore, we hopefully get the best benefit out of that without falling into error.
نعم، في الإسراء والمعراج، في المعراج دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الجنة ورأى بأم عينيه ما أعد الله للمؤمنين للمتقين، ورأى قصرا لعمر رضي الله عنه فيه الحور العين، ومنعه أن يدخل فيه غيرة عمر، حتى قال عمر: عليك أغار يا رسول الله؟ ورأى خشخشة علي بلال في الجنة فسأله: ما أرجى عمل تفعله؟ قال: ما تطهرت طهورا ولا توضأت وضوءا إلا صليت بين يدي ذلك ركعتين. فقال: لقد سمعت دفن عليك في الجنة. وبالمقابل رأى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام النار وما أعد فيها للفجار والمنافقين والكفار، رأى الزناة والزانيات، ورأى أكلة الربا، ورأى أكلة مال اليتيم، ورأى من آيات ربه الكبرى رؤية بصرية حقيقية لعيني رأسه، ورجع من ليلته وحدث قومه بما رأى في معراجه وإسرائه، فمن مكذب ومن مصدق. بعض الصحابة استشكلوا ذلك، وبعضهم كان له امتحان واختبار وابتلاء، وكان وسمي الصديق صديقا من تلك الحادثة، حيث قيل له إن صاحبك يزعم أنه أسري به الليلة أتصدقه فيما يقول؟ قال: وأصدقه بما هو أشد من ذلك، أصدقه في خبر السماء. فسمي من يومها الصديق، فما رآه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في الجنة وفي النار رآه رؤية بصرية عينية، ليس رؤية في المنام، وإنما في اليقظة وفي الحقيقة حينما عرج به إلى السماوات العلى.
Discussion of again the question in the translation, the meanings is in English as it was written. We mentioned in both the translation and the Arabic that in the Isra wa Miraj, in the night journey and the elevation of the Prophet into the paradise, that to the heavens, and that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Allah with his own eyes. So please clarify and explain this. Well, the answer simply is that in among the other narrations in the context of this particular story, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadith on Umar radiallahu anhu, where he saw the Hurin, the maidens of the hereafter, and described them in detail and their description. And verily, he, in another narration, mentioned that he heard the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anhu. He verily heard the clumping of the feet upon the ground of the ard of Jannah. And this is, of course, because of, according to the way and message of the Prophet ﷺ in his words, the translation of meanings, is because he, whenever he made tuhur, whenever he made tahara, whenever he made wudu, he would always not fail to make two raka'ah of voluntary salah after he made his wudu. And because of this, Allah to enter Jannah, and the Prophet himself ﷺ heard his footsteps ahead of him in Jannah. And also, in the description of the hellfire, the Prophet ﷺ saw that the inhabitants of the hellfire, and the descriptions of the criminals and those who committed crimes, and particularly the women and those who were adulterers, etc., he saw it and described in detail the condition of the inhabitants of the hellfire. All of these incidents, along with the Isra Miraj, were seen by his eyes. These were visions not from the mind or the heart in the dream, but in the waking state or otherwise by his eyes. And verily, this incident of the Isra Miraj was an important part of the Islamic history, because when he came back from this journey, he related his story, his incident, his history, his actual incident to the companions. And among the companions, they were hesitant to believe this at first. They were hesitant. This was an imtihan. This was a test for the early Muslims, to test the veracity of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the truth of the message that he brought. So no doubt that this caused some consternation among some of the companions. Therefore, you might find different narrations, both some of them that have been abrogated and others not, from the different companions. But we have no better example than an incident than of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. For verily, it was in his understanding and acceptance of this truth that verily he was named in this day on Siddiq, when they came, one of the unbelievers came to him and said, "Here's what your companion did last night." He said, "What did he say?" Then he related the whole story to him, and then verily said, "If this is what our Prophet ﷺ said and did, he has come with more greater things every night and day. And that is the revelation of the Quran. So if you tell me that's what he did, I can tell you something better what he does. And that's the Quran comes to him both day and night. Therefore, I believe it wholeheartedly." And from that day on, he was known as Siddiq in English, meaning the one who most veracity, that is, most truthfully believes in something, wholeheartedly, without any doubt. So among all these types of sights and visions of the Prophet ﷺ, it is concluded to say it was done by his eyes, in his sight, with his eyes, and not in his dreams. Wallahu alam, aqulu qawla hadha wa astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk, subhanak wa bihamdika, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk.